This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media in association with KBB Birmingham 2020.
Hello and welcome to the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media. I'm the Managing Editor, Andy Davis, and we have a royal flush of editors today. Go around the table, please.
Elspeth Pridham, Editor of Studio.
Oh, we're doing full names. I'm Lindsay Blair, Editor of Kitchens, Bedrooms and Bathrooms Magazine.
And I'm Rebecca Nottingham, Editor of KBB Review Magazine.
That's very formal.
It's very formal. Now, we agreed last week, Elspeth, you and I, that we weren't going to do Happy New Year's, even though this is technically our first editor's podcast.
Yeah, no, not doing it anymore.
So that ship sailed for you two. I'm really sorry about that.
Right.
That old acquaintance.
Happy New Year, Lindsay.
Well, now you've ruined it. So we're going to jump into this. We've got a lot to get through today, I think. We're going to start, as we always do. I say always do. We've done it about twice. With opening our envelope, this is where we run through where we've been and what we've seen in... That's my little... Do you like that? Where we've been and what we've seen...
Yeah, I like it.
...in kitchen and bathroom world in the last few weeks. Go Sting.
Taxi! Taxi!
It's actually quite long, though, isn't it?
It's actually... It seems to be getting longer every time. Yeah.
So we'll start with you, Bex, because I'm suspecting that your opening an envelope mainly involves going to your mum's for Christmas.
Pretty much, yeah. To be honest, it's been a busy old time on KBB Review, and what with Christmas and New Year in the middle, it's safe to say I haven't really been to many places.
So the envelopes you've opened have been Christmas cards.
Yes, that's correct.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, we'll glaze.
Sorry, guys.
We'll glaze over and move on to Lynn's.
Oh God, I don't really have anything to add. To be honest with you, it's been a quiet time with Christmas and. The last thing I did was made Christmas muffins, so it's not very New Year. It's not very January, clean eating, all the rest of it.
Please, for the love of God, Elspeth, tell me you've been somewhere.
That makes me feel really bad, because Bex and Lindsay have clearly been working very hard on their magazines, while I've just spent 3 days...
We have, haven't we?
...in Paris.
Extremely hard.
...at Maison Objet and Paris Déco. Would you like me to explain what that is?
Yes, please.
Okay. Maison Objet is an exhibition at the main Paris Exhibition Centre, and at the same time, Paris Déco Off is all the soft furnishing and wallpaper people exhibit their latest collections in showrooms and pop-up venues throughout the design district of Paris.
Right, so what, if from a kitchen and bathroom design point of view, what would you say some trends are that you saw at that event?
Okay, I saw some very distinct trends actually, which I think, because if people are going to update their home, they tend to do it with soft furnishings first, because they're obviously not a big financial commitment. So I think you can look at what was there and perhaps have a little bit of a guess, foresight into what's going to happen next. So one of the big things I noticed was on upholstery, so sofas and chairs, not seeing so many of the square geometric lines, but very, best way to describe it is pebble-shaped furniture. So
very
rounded, big rounded sofas, big rounded chairs, rounded coffee tables, oval-shaped coffee tables. And I think we will start seeing those kind of flowing lines, curved lines coming into kitchens as well, rather than the big monolith island units sort of using shaped worktop materials. So that's one thing I've seen. The maximalism trend absolutely is going on, so you're seeing a lot of patterned fabric prints and mixing and matching patterns and textures, so that is really bold. And then also in amongst that, unusual materials like cork and cowhide on the wall. So that was quite interesting, and jute. And I think we're going to see, it's already happening, obviously, with coloured basins, what have you, even more colour in bathrooms. But also, how are kitchens going to move into this trend? Are we going to see coloured lacquer, different finishes in the kitchen and decorative things? Embellishment on all sorts of fabrics. You're seeing sequins, embroidery. Will we also see embellishment in kitchens? So door handles coming back, a bit less of the handleless design. And then another thing that I thought was very interesting, a lot of the wallpaper companies are launching wallpaper that look like tiles, but Mediterranean and kind of Moroccan influences, a lot of blue and yellow, pinks and greens. We've already seen decorative tiles on floors, sort of the encaustic trend, but are we going to actually see patterned tiles back on the walls in the kitchens and bathrooms? So that would be my prediction summary based on what I've seen on fabrics this week.
No, that's really good. So patterned tiles, curvy cushions,
Curvy cushions, yeah, curvy and, kitchens, I think we're going to see.
And beef wallpaper, that's
basically. Yeah, the beef wallpaper is lovely.
That's really interesting, the cork and the jute, very sustainable.
Yeah, very sustainable.
Then cowhide kind of throws it in the mix, it's quite
can't be real cowhide,
out there.
Sure
real cowhide, genuine really? Cowhide. And I did ask about that, it was at Arte Wallpaper, and I said, you know, what's the reaction to this? It's one of their biggest things that have been picked up at the show. Beautiful patch, sort of patchwork effect of bits of with the fur and texture on it. So actual cow on your walls.
But I think what's interesting about that is that we're actually have, you know, everything you've just said there. It does link in with the trends that we're already sort of seeing in the kitchen, particularly, you know, with all of these natural materials coming through. So actually, you know, everything does go hand in hand. And
it really does. And one of the other things that we were talking about when we were on the trip was for home furnishings, you used to say they were about 5 years behind fashion, whereas I would think they're a season behind now. So
agree.
A lot of the colour groupings we were seeing in clothes are now already coming out on furnishing fabrics and tiles and wallpapers, and therefore kitchens and bathrooms are not, you know, it's catching up because of the instant impression that Instagram makes, that I think we're seeing these things coming
and
very quickly.
And manufacturing technology and design allows for those things to actually translate from one to the other, whereas before it would have been impossible.
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. So, très interesting. I don't know what it's French for interesting is.
Très bon, merci.
Oui, oui. Très bien. Okay, so obviously you haven't been anywhere and you haven't been anywhere either, you two, but it's a very exciting week for us here in terms of kitchen and bathroom design, because we're actually recording this on Monday, and Wednesday and Thursday of this week are the judging days for the design categories of the KBB Review Retail and Design Awards 2020. This is the shortlisted finalists in those categories come down to London, and they each have 15 minutes to present their project to the panel of judges. So it's kitchens on Wednesday and bathrooms on Thursday, and Lindsay and Elspeth, you're actually on the judging panels.
Yes,
you're doing bathrooms, aren't you,
Elspeth?
Lindsay, you're on kitchens.
I'm on kitchens, yes.
Bex, you've got the hard job of making it all run on time.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's when my organisational skills do actually come in handy. I've got that.
Obviously, over those 2 days, we've got a very captive group of top kitchen and bathroom designers, so we'll be doing a couple of special episodes of this podcast while we're there. There we go. What is the collective noun for kitchen and bathroom designers, do you think?
A gaggle.
A gaggle?
I think that's
a collective noun.
Yeah, so do I, like a murmuration. Yeah.
Well, I thought a render.
A render. Oh, I like it.
A render.
You've had some thought on this.
So this week we've got a render of kitchen bathroom designers, so we'll be talking to them. So that'll be the next couple of episodes of the podcast. The other thing we should mention at this point is that we are, of course, in now full build-up mode for KBB Birmingham 2020. They are supporting us in this production of this podcast, of course, and we'll all be there, all four of us, doing live episodes at the show. And in the next week or so, we'll be letting everyone know the detail of what we'll be doing, which will hopefully at least come along and say hello, please, because otherwise we'll be sat in the corner talking to ourselves. So it is, of course, the biggest kitchen, bedroom and bathroom show in the UK, and it runs from March the 1st to the 4th at the NEC in Birmingham. So go to kbb.co.uk to find out more. Now, today's topic is I wanted to talk a bit about consumers, and in particular, what we do or don't understand in any detail about how consumers actually use their kitchens and their bathrooms, and whether or not this industry and obviously the design in it actually really reflects or understands it. I think we're very guilty sometimes of looking at the aesthetics of things a lot, about how fabulous everything is, but actually in reality these are kitchens, bathrooms that live in people's homes for years and years and years, so have they actually used them? Now, as we all know, I love a quiz.
We do love a quiz.
I'm a big fan of the quiz.
You do a good quiz, Andy.
Well, I know.
fair enough.
Modest. Very modest.
I have few skills in my life, but that is one of them, is setting a good quiz. And of course, I hate to mention it and bring it up every other day, but I do have a pointless trophy.
You didn't win, though, did you?
I didn't actually.
Rebecca, you're going to be cut out now.
I got the trophy, I just didn't actually. Curse you, films of Quentin Tarantino. So we're actually going to do this in the form of a quiz. So this is technically a Survey of the Week special.
Survey of the Week
special. Yeah. I got in touch with our good friends of the pod, at Trend Monitor. They're a market research company, which a lot of you might have heard of. They specialise, and one of their specialisms is the KBB market. And their research director there, Jane Blake-Brett, who you know, Bex, she's very kindly set us some questions from taken from some of their consumer research reports.
Are they easy?
This could really show,
we haven't,
show us up again.
Yes. We haven't seen these, have we?
No.
No. We've not done very well on the survey of the week. So
as to, if you want to find out more about Trend Monitor, go to trend-monitor.co.uk. That's the plug. Okay, so here's the question. So I've got some bathrooms and some kitchens, obviously. So what do you want to start with, kitchens or bathrooms?
Kitchens.
Yeah.
Kitchens, okay. What kitchen items do householders find the most difficult to store?
Oh, food processors. Because they're so big and you've got all those bits and you've got to try and stick them in a cupboard somewhere.
Yeah, mixer.
I think things like casserole pots and tagines and tall vessels of the sort.
Oh, I like the word vessel. Excellent.
Okay. Someone's awake, aren't they?
You can tell.
That's four coffees.
You can tell the girl from Newcastle's moved to London, can't you? Well, 63% of householders find countertop appliances the most difficult items to store. So, yes, that's right with that. 45% have difficulties storing their ironing boards.
Oh, what's one of them?
Actually,
there's a Newcastle girl.
You pride yourself on not doing your ironing.
Closely followed by 43% who struggle to store cleaning items such as brooms and dustpans. Now, what I thought was interesting about that was your immediate thought is about cooking and food preparation and all the things, you know, entertaining and all the things we talk about a lot with kitchen design. But actually, a lot of people store all their cleaning stuff and their...
That is interesting because I wouldn't have thought, particularly in the kind of homes that we all talk about in our day-to-day, that people would be storing such items perhaps.
I shove mine all in the understairs cupboard, but I guess if you just don't have an understairs cupboard.
It ties in with the rise of utility rooms then, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it does make sense to have all of those things to hand when you're in the kitchen, to be fair.
Okay, let's have a bathroom one now. What are the most popular bathroom leisure activities?
Don't smile like that, Andrew. Popular bathroom leisure activity. Well, having a bath, surely, just luxuriating in a bath.
Well,
does that not count as a leisure
activity? Yes. In the
stuff you were doing in the bathroom.
Catching up on Netflix.
Oh, reading, I suppose. Reading in the bath or reading on the loo.
Oh.
Grimace.
Aww. You always bring it down a level, don't you?
Although those bath boards are really popular now, aren't they? Where you can have a little slot for your wine, your iPad, and then something else.
I've actually got one.
How is it?
It's brilliant, yeah.
What do you do? Do you watch something?
No, I read.
She catches up on Netflix.
No, I don't actually. No, I read. I read.
I'm going to go with Elspeth as well. Read him.
Well, one in five will occasionally enjoy a glass of wine in the bathroom, especially while taking a bath. 40% of people read in the bathroom in some way.
I'm one of those.
I do too, except my glasses get steamed.
Mainly books in the bath, but a small number will read on the toilet.
Oh no, I don't do that.
And do you know all these people who take their phones in?
Well, thank you very much, because phones are regularly taken into the bathroom. 10% check their emails, 6% send text, 4% check Facebook. 4% listen to podcasts. What's wrong with you people? Well, my favourite is 2% of people check their bank accounts.
Okay.
Making a deposit.
There's so many things to say to that. I mean,
I know we're not going to sort of draw lots of conclusions from all of these. We talk a lot about spa-like experiences, but things like lighting, whether there's lights in there to be able to sit and read a book on the bog, it's important. It's how people literally use their bathrooms. How many kitchens have a warming drawer?
Oh, a really small percent.
Or a large percent where they're never used.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say 45% I'm going for.
I'm going to say 10%.
I'm going to go 63%.
Oh, you've gone high. Yeah. Wow.
Domestic.
Wow, that's divided opinion, that one, isn't it? Well, Elspeth, 9% of kitchens have a warming drawer.
But you hear people talk about warming drawers like the oracle of kitchens. Yeah.
But do you know what? Something that we interestingly picked up from at the supper club, Lindsay, you know, in the KBB supper club, when Sven, Mila's
he loves
chef.
His warming
drawer. And actually, I think the problem perhaps is education, because people just assume it's just for warming plates, but actually you can cook in there.
Yeah, he does his roast beef in there.
And then he makes a stew, doesn't he, as well? Or,
he uses it basically like a slow cooker.
You know, the craze for baking that everyone talks about all the time, but only 9% of people have a warming drawer. Mm-hmm. And the main reason for not having a warming drawer is...
Space? Just no. Space for it.
Not understanding.
They wouldn't use it.
Yeah.
34% of people said they just wouldn't use it.
But again, it kind of, if people actually understood what they could do with it, it would mean getting rid of another countertop item that they can't store, yes. getting rid of the slow cooker and actually,
oh,
you
know.
Oh,
that's a really good point. Yeah, so, you can actually.
But that's the education side of it.
Okay, so how many times per day do we flush the toilet?
This is such a slippery slope, isn't it? Do you mean
if you don't flush it properly.
How many times?
How many times in your house does the toilet get flushed?
I've read this in like a BMA report when it was water saving.
I think suspected this very report.
I cannot remember what it is now.
20?
7 times per person. Well, also, something like that.
There's no one in my house during the day. Everyone's out at work, so there's nobody flushing the loo.
On average, we are flushing at home 7 times per day per person.
Oh, okay.
That's a lot.
7?
I have to say.
Why is it 20? I've obviously got bladder control issues. I need to see a doctor.
Well, those retired or working from home, which is you, Elspeth, a lot of the time, are getting up to 16 flushes per day.
Per person?
Well, I'm not, so clearly there's something wrong with me.
No, but that's
water retention.
We need to see a doctor for different reasons.
But that's what's interesting about it, is people flushing the toilet for not just when they're going to the toilet.
Yes, or that is not on. You
using
should
the
not
toilet
be,
as a bin.
Yeah, don't be flushing the toilet.
Oh, so no.
That's where water use issues come in.
Yeah.
Okay, now 51% of kitchens don't have a dishwasher. Why?
My guess is the age-old theory that they actually use more water than they save you. So okay. It's an eco issue.
Yeah. And then there's space.
Yeah,
I'm going to say space and cost. So you've got a hell of a lot of people, like students and, you know, in rental properties
where
there won't be one.
Space is the main reason. Over half of households without a dishwasher don't have the space for one. And again, it's this idea that everyone in our world lives in incredibly spacious, luxurious spaces with massive, great big islands. But the average kitchens simply don't have the space to put another appliance.
People are still washing up in their rubber gloves and their fairy liquid.
Oh. How popular is having a bath?
I love a bath.
I don't like a bath at all.
I absolutely love it.
I think it's a Marmite thing, so I'm going to say it's 50% popular. I think half the population like them, half the population don't.
I'm going to go 65% that do still bath, because I think it's still a popular pastime.
Well, you glass of wine and you me.
Yeah, but it's kind of that whole sort of spa-like bathroom wellness. You know, I think it's coming back.
Listening to
I
podcasts, checking your bank account.
For efficiency, convenience, I think more people shower now. Yeah. So I'm going to go opposite. I think 65% shower, so I'm going to say 35% bath.
9 out of 10 homes have a bath.
But that doesn't mean they use it, Andy.
I was pausing for emphasis.
He gets all the speaking. I want to go.
9 out of 10 homes have a bath, and over 50% of those with a bath use it at least once a week. On average, we take 10 baths per month.
So does that mean, hang on a minute, does that mean that I might have actually got one sort of right this time?
Well,
sort of.
I think that's a lot of families then putting their kids in the bath.
Yeah.
But how many new bathrooms include a bath as part of the installation?
I think that's going down. I think it's taken a really long time to go down, because it was this huge belief that if you didn't have a bath, you'd never, ever be able to sell your house. Whereas I think taking out the bath and putting in a big shower is so much nicer. So percentage of new builds without a bath, was that the question?
Yeah, how many people are installing a new bathroom and including a bath?
And including a bath, only 30%.
Oh.
I think people are still installing them because they think they want to bath for the wellness and the, you know, the luxurious feeling of it, but I don't think they might necessarily use it very regularly. So I'm going to go 60% still install a bath.
66% of new bathroom.
I didn't actually get a chance to give my option.
Were you going to say 66?
I was going to say 66%. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Yes.
Wow, well done, Spawn.
Very good, Lynn.
66% of new bathroom installations and refits include a bath. Bearing in mind that 9 out of 10 homes have a bath. So that is falling.
Yeah.
40% of new bathrooms include a vanity unit, and only 20% of new bathrooms include additional furniture.
Do you think people are worried about not having a bath?
I know you touched on
the resale value.
I think particularly with children, everyone always says, don't they, that bathing children. And I think it is just this feeling that you've got to have a bath.
It's very British, isn't it, to
have
a bath?
Really.
I think also it's it depends where a lot of new builds, it's budget as well. Quite often. I mean, I know actually, to be honest, I'm going to contradict myself and say that actually over time we've understood that specifications are going up. So actually, the amount of money that are being spent on the bathroom and the kitchen within these new builds is actually a lot more.
Yeah.
But I definitely think, I mean, I'm in a new build that I bought sort of 9 years ago, and all of the places have baths.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it does also depend on budgets, but I'm not surprised that there's quite a high number.
It's a really strange thing, isn't it? Because when you talk to bathroom designers, they always say that, you know, that they're given such an unrealistic wish list. People always want a bath, but they want a separate shower. They don't want the shower over the bath. They want something separate. And they end up doing this compromise just because they won't let go of the bath. But in reality, you know, you might only have a bath 5 times a year, whereas you're having a shower once, sometimes twice a day.
Well, on average,
you
take 10 baths per month.
Yeah, well, that's just...
Okay, really. Let's go back to the kitchen.
Okay.
So again, we're dealing with perception and reality here, right? What percentage of kitchens can only sit up to 2 people comfortably for a meal?
Oh, again, I think that's quite high, sadly.
I would say that's quite high.
Yeah, I'm going to say 60%.
75%.
I'm going to 70.
Wow. I love the fact you've got like a 5% difference there, just for the sake of it. Okay, 22%. Only sit up to 2 people, 39% up to 4 people, 27% up to 6 people.
Are they all comfortable, though?
12% wow. Can seat 8 people and over comfortably for a meal. That's not my kitchen.
No, not my kitchen.
2 people can't comfortably stand in my kitchen. It's like a submarine. Right, back to the bathroom there. How many bottles of shampoo, conditioner or shower gel do we keep in our showers?
Ugh. Well, I've made the transition to shampoo bars.
Oh, well done. Oh, wow. You're very eco-friendly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm loving it as well.
Oh, okay.
Highly recommend.
And in fact, I am thinking your hair is rather lovely.
Oh, thank you very much.
Very shiny. Yeah.
A what?
A shampoo bar. It's the new environmentally friendly version. So you cut plastic, so it's just a soap.
Oh.
It's for your hair.
Right, I thought it was like a champagne bar or a whiskey bar or something.
Yeah, I've got one of those as well.
Oh, okay.
So I would say one of each, Andy. One bottle of shampoo, one bottle of conditioner, one bottle of body wash in the shower.
Mm.
Per person?
No.
Total.
To share.
I'd say it's quite... Well, I mean, just thinking about... I'm just doing a mental sort of count of what's in my shower area. And I'd say about 6 to 8 bottles of something or other in mine.
What do you do? How long are you spending in there?
And also, do you vary your products then? Because I always use the same thing.
No, I like to vary.
Oh, okay.
Also, you've got scrubs, you've got the shower gel, you've got... moisturiser. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on in there.
I've just got a copy of the Racing Times and some Carbolic. That's what I'm cleaning myself.
Yeah, well, you're busy checking your bank account. Well, 2/3 of us keep up to 5 bottles in our showers. However, 10% of us are keeping over 10 bottles in the shower at any one time.
Wow.
And 2% over 20 bottles.
Oh, crikey, I haven't got 20.
That's the household, not per person.
Yeah.
But that's very interesting in terms of design, isn't it? I mean, certainly I know, judging the awards later this week, whenever you see the showers, everyone's built in a little niche to put your bottles on. But it's very small and you can have a very stylised, you know, one bottle of this, one bottle of that. Whereas it sounds to me you almost need to take a crate.
But this is the perception. This is what's interesting about this, isn't it?
So all that stuff's littering on the floor then, all those bottles.
Well, if you ever go on a shoot, all those bottles are just behind you, aren't they?
Yes.
Nice designer candle and the nice designer shower gel.
So as well, that's what you've got actually in the shower. Then you've got the stuff where's the next bottle of it going to be stored and kept? Because if that head and shoulders is running out, you might have another one waiting in the wings. So all that's got to get stored as well.
Yeah.
So this is
storage is a big thing.
This is why it's always number one on consumers' lists as well, storage, not just how pretty everything is. Okay, back to the kitchen. What is the most popular kitchen shape for new kitchens installed within the past 3 years?
Oh, L-shaped?
I'm going to go single galley with an island.
I'd go U-shape.
22.3% of new kitchens are L-shaped, closely followed by U-shaped kitchens at 21.7%, so that's basically the same, more or less. And 19% of new kitchens have an island.
Wow, that's quite low, I think.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Considering that, again, that's a huge...
But islands are very aspirational things, and of course... If they haven't got space for a dishwasher, they certainly haven't got space for an island.
Yeah,
so the L and the U are 1 and 2, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's the compromise. If you want an island but you don't have space, then the peninsula of either the L or the U could be the breakfast bar.
Yeah,
and it's entirely a space and budget issue, obviously.
Yeah.
Last bathroom question. Now, this is going to really test you now, okay?
God.
How long do we take to clean the bathroom?
Oh, God. Oh, dear. This has really shored me up, this podcast. Yeah.
So here.
My chores
weekly,
are not...
monthly, or...?
Yeah, how many minutes a week and how often?
Well, can I be honest and say none a week? I'm not very good at cleaning my bathroom. I would say probably every 2 weeks.
An hour every 2 weeks?
I would say 15 minutes every 2 weeks.
How many minutes of it's all this bottle do you spend in your bathroom?
Well, I'm in there flushing the loo quite a lot.
In
so
the
whilst
reading.
I've just flushed the toilet, I'm cleaning, you know, it's multitasking.
Sorry, what was the question?
Lindsay,
again?
How often do you clean your bathroom?
Yeah.
Not you personally, how many people?
How many times a week for how long?
On average, I reckon probably people would do once a week.
No, not people, Lindsay. What do you do?
Oh, what do I do? God, once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm a
15 right. minutes.
Yeah.
Bish, bash, bosh, spray everything, yes. Give it a rinse.
Yeah. God, you three stink.
Also, I'm quite short, so I only do like anything I can't see above my eye line. That's just
leave it.
You know, just leave
my bathroom's
it.
Tiny as well, so I could just stand in the middle and just go around with the spray.
Spray.
Well, on average, of which you three are clearly not, on average, we spend 25 minutes twice a week.
Bloody hell.
Cleaning
can
our
I
bathrooms.
Just say, I said an hour every 2 weeks, so I was correct then.
Yeah, but the reason it takes an hour is because you've got 2 weeks
you've let
worth
2 weeks
of
go.
20 bottles of soap scum.
Well, there you go.
Collect.
That's amazing. Same. A little bit alarming because that's a lot of product being used as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of
and
stuff.
Where do you keep it all?
Yes, Elspeth, yeah. We are very eco-friendly.
We're very eco-friendly because we're not cleaning
yeah,
the bathrooms.
That's right.
There's no bleach going down my loo.
There's a lot of stuff and you've got to store it.
Yes.
And that's the issue with all this stuff. Yeah. Okay, final...
Sorry, can I just ask, Andy, how often do you clean your bathroom?
I clean the bathroom once a week for about 20 minutes.
Oh,
impressed.
Wow.
Yeah, did it yesterday. He says smugly. Okay, here's a good one. And this is the final one. This is the final question you'll be glad to know. What is the average spend on a complete new kitchen?
Oh, average.
Oh, it's going to be lower than I think it's going to be.
15,000.
I'm going to say 20.
I was going to say 20 as well.
£11,000. £11,000 is the average spend on a complete new kitchen installed in the last 3 years. 35% of householders went over the budget they had initially anticipated, and keeping within the budget was the most difficult aspect of a new kitchen installation. It's very easy to think, particularly if you talk about independent market, that, you know, 25 grand is an entry-level price for a kitchen.
Absolutely.
But for most people, 25 grand is really an obscene amount of money in many ways. And £11,000 represents a massive amount
significant.
Of money. We work in an environment where it's very easy to think of everything as being very sort of fabulous.
Yeah, it makes me feel we're a bit ivory tower, isn't it?
And that's the issue with it all. What normal people, quote-unquote, want and expect out of their kitchens and bathrooms is actually... much more realistic and down to earth than a lot of the market that we operate in probably thinks. That's it for this week. Thank you to the three of you. The podcast will be back next week. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please rate and review us too, as it helps more people find us and makes us feel really good about ourselves. See you next time.